Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome to VFN Radio. Greg, John, and Pat will be back live tomorrow, so stay tuned for more of our timeless treasures.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
So this is a young man. His name is Jeff or Jefferson Burke, and he put a spoken word, what some people call a rap, a spoken word. This is the first time he ever did it. He was at a secular college, and they had the time where people would go up and you know, write poetry and do these different things, and nobody was, you know, doing anything for Jesus. So he thought, this is my perfect time. He thought, this is one shot. He's going to never do this again. He's never done it to this point, and he's going to just write it. And he writes it, and it's entitled, Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus. Mm. And when he did it, he was thinking, boy, they're fixing to throw him out, right? He delivered that. And then everybody was just silent. All these kids were just silent at the university. And when he put it up on YouTube, 21.5 million people have viewed it. So we want to hear this first. This is what we're talking about. You know, what Derek was talking about in the first hour was his encounter with religion. That's what happened to Jesus when he bumped into religion. They said, who are you? What are you doing out here in our parking lot? You know, and he's going like, I'm the Son of God. And yeah. I came to tell you that the Father loves you and will forgive your sins. Get him out of here quick.
He's healing people. He's
stop him.
Jesus is looking in our cars. Is that crazy?
God. Yeah.
That's crazy, but true.
Yeah,
you know, and so that's what they did to Jesus. And then some people just had stone him. Mm-hmm. So first of all, if that was you, if you had a parking lot experience like that, realize that Jesus had it too, because they didn't want him in the building. They didn't want him because they were scared of Jesus. And the reason why they were scared of him, because he was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And all it is, we talk about this, and you can find this on the VFN TV blog. Practice these words. I was wrong. I mean, Fonzie couldn't say it, but he was an actor.
Yeah.
You know, we can say it. We can say, I was wrong, right? And then we just go, I'm following Jesus, you know, and just be willing to let go of everything that's not God. And so this young man that you're fixing to hear right here, if you're religious, this is gonna really upset you. But if you're not and you love Jesus, you're gonna go, yeah, that's right. But you understand, he came up with a single mother. His mother had some mental issues on top of that, and so he had all this you know, she would drag him to church, he said, for some reason. He didn't know why, because it wasn't, you know. And so he had all this church that never spoke into his life. They never said anything to him. And he was dying. He was going through all this turmoil by himself, because his mother was dysfunctional. His father was absent. And this church, this religion, was doing this to him. And now he knows Jesus now. You can tell when you hear it. But you got to hear it, because he talks about religion. So here it is. It's 4 minutes. You got to hear the whole thing. You can see the video on the VFN TV blog at VFNTV.com and click on the blog. Let's listen.
What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion? What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian, and just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision? I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, They did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat. But it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now I ain't judging, I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be onto me. Acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, He looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it He called them fools. Don't you see, so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let Him in? See, remember, He was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention, how Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage, while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different clans. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man. Which is why salvation is freely mine, and forgiveness is my own. Not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because He took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down His face. He took what we all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, He yelled, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because when He was dangling on that cross, He was thinking of you. And He absorbed all your sin and He buried it in the tomb, which is why I'm kneeling at the cross saying, come on, there's room. So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, it is finished, I believe He meant it.
I think He said it all. Mm. Is that beautiful or what?
Powerful.
Man, that was that was awesome.
Isn't it?
It really was.
22.5 million people saw that and couldn't stop talking about it. You know why? Because that's the truth. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. And the thing we can do, we can look at what is and yell at it and say, change. And religion is going to say, what part of don't you understand, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. Or you can be the change you want to see. God looks for a man. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look for organization. He looks for a man like Charles Seymour with Azusa Street Revival. He looks for, you know, a Dowie or a John G. Lake. He looks for an Amy Semple McPherson. It's you keep looking to everybody else to be what God told you to be. It's time for you to be, because you're going to stand alone, just like He's talking about in this. Realize that that if, in fact, that situation is a religious situation, that Jesus does not love that situation, but He loves the people in that situation. And the reason why you're having this experience with God, because God is with you and God is in you, is not because God's in the building. It's because God's in you. You are the building of God. Know ye not that you're a temple of God, that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? It's really cool. Every time I get with this person, it's just like, you know, God shows up. It's because He says, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of it. But somebody told you it was the building, the organization. Listen, break free from the religious bondage and begin to abide with Jesus Christ. Begin to hang out with him. Go to iabide.org and find out how to hear his voice. Commit to 6 weeks. You yourself do this. Once you do that, begin to pray like Jesus did. Find out who else wants to abide with Jesus. Let them take the six-week challenge. And then as you guys are meeting once a week, sharing about what God is saying, God's going to tell you what to do. Or you can just wait till they feed you and slide your tray under the bar. See, I looked in the mirror to see what my issue would be. When I looked in the mirror, I saw that my issue was me. See, God's looking for you. He's calling out your name. But the dilemma is here. You alone have to respond. You have to respond to him. Look, everything is falling around us. Because he says, I looked and looked for a man to stand in the gap so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But he says, I couldn't find one. And people are going, I'm trying to help you find one, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And God's going, why don't you just be one?
Right.
Here I am. Send me. But I've never lived outside the building. I don't know how is there life outside of that? Actually, there's a lot of darkness and we need some light outside of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's time to be the church. It's time to, and you can't join, you really can't join the church. All you can do is be recognized that you are the church because it's the body, it's the building, it's people, not stucco and whatever. It's somebody who knows Jesus and made him the Lord of their life. And so you just recognize they are, and then you get rightly related to them. You know, Paul said, I warned you day and night with tears that wolves would come in amongst your number and even come up from among you. And today's church says, wolves, come on in. Got big billboards up. Come on in. Matter of fact, eat the sheep. Hopefully during the process of eating the sheep, you might get saved.
Right.
It's like wrong answer. And that he warned day and night. Listen, we have a responsibility as shepherds to protect the flock, and we have a responsibility to identify the flock that we're supposed to be responsible for. But listen, this whole biblical perspective, you know, as you know, Derek and I were talking the other day, that when you look, when you walk, you just, it's the word of God, that when you do this, you can't do what God's told you to do in a religious format. No. They contradict each other. It's like oil and water. It's like up and down. It's like the two opposing magnetic poles pushing against each other. It's the old wineskin and the new wineskin. You can't obey God and stay in an area where people aren't obeying God. It's not, they may be religious, but you can't, they won't work. And you can't blame them for your lack of obedience. You just need to obey God.
Yeah.
You know, you need to obey God. And if you can begin to do that, we're going to make that available for you. I may have that here on highlights. It's about how you can do this right where you're at. Begin to take that abiding challenge yourself and begin to learn how to listen to God. Begin to spend time with him. Then begin to encourage others after you have to do the very same thing. And then begin to meet once a week in there. And you do this over and over again where you're gathering with the people that are Christians there that profess to be believers. And you'll find out that you'll start hearing from God and you'll know what to do. His sheep know his voice and follow none other. Amen?
Man.
Had a preaching moment there. We'll be right back in just a moment. If you have not yet thought about going to the next level in God, meaning going, learning more about God, diving into the depths of what God has for you. Listen, the Great Commission is not the great suggestion, no matter what anybody's told you. And we do answer alone, no witnesses, no suspects before the throne of God. But despite all that, you're called and designed by God. You've been given a certain measure of talents to invest in his kingdom, to be able to bring an interest, a dividend back to the king. What does that mean? Sowing your life and what God's given you into other people. If that's you, do you feel like you have a call on your life? A call on your life, and you need to see, I don't know what to do or how to do it. And what I see right now, what's happening seems kind of hard to do. They're talking like $1.3 million building projects and $1.3 million per baptized believer in the church in America. They're talking about, I said, how can I do it? Listen, that's just all religion. Be at peace. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Simple fishermen can obey God. Find out more today at Vine Fellowship Network University. Go to vfnu.org. vfnu.org.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcast.
John.
Yes.
There's this, you know, the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of the Lord, just awesome. There's a song that that you know we sing as believers, and we've sang, it's been around for a while now, but it's called, right, you know, Shekinah glory come down, where you're calling down the presence of God, you know?
The glory of God.
Yeah, I remember in one of the VFN churches that they were gathered together and they were in worshiping, and there's a brand new a person, their fellowship, and they've never heard about the glory of God or the Shekinah glory of God. And so everybody's singing that song, you know, Shekinah glory come down, Shekinah glory come down. And, you know, and it seems like everything's okay. But you know, halfway through their gathering, this person leaves.
Right.
And then, you know, what was going on? What was happening? You know, so finally, maybe a couple weeks later, the pastor goes over and sees the person and talks to them and finds out what's going on and says, well, you know, I was talking to my father, and I don't know who Shekinah is, but, you know, we're not really into worshiping any of these gods. And it was just so funny. They actually thought that it was Shekinah, that they were actually worshiping some god called
Shakira
or Shekinah. And, of course, she was able to explain what it was. It was so funny. You think about it. You're saying, where is this Shekinah or Shakira? What's going on right here?
That's really funny.
It is hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So mm-hmm. You can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
Man, it's just some major things taking place. Well, I know that today, I want to talk in the wisdom moment today, we're going to be talking about a proverb that talks about a lying tongue and flattering mouth. It's amazing when the Word of God talks about lips,
mm-hmm.
You know, and what happens with our lips, you know, what our lips are saying determines how God's going to respond to us. If you just do a word search on lips in the Bible, you know, it's like, oh my goodness. It's amazing, isn't it?
There's a lot in there.
Of course, he's obviously not talking about the lips. He's talking about what's coming out between the flapping lips, you know?
That's right.
It says, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Let me say it again. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. There's so many lies going on today, we really don't even know the definition of a lie anymore. I mean, it just, there's different versions of it. Most liars don't call what they do a lie. They call what other people do a lie. But lie is defined as this: a false statement made deliberately with a deliberate intent to deceive, with an intentional untruth. For example, a false statement, say it again, a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive or intentional untruth. They're intentionally saying something in a way that, and it's really crazy. We're going to talk about our leaders and what's going on, and it's happening everywhere. Another definition is something intended or serving to convey a false impression. You know, doing things that, that's a lie. That is a lie. And it's, you know, omission or commission. It's real tough to live in the truth when so many people are lying. You know, and flattery is defined as excessive and insincere praise that is given to further one's own interest, which is, it's a lie as well. And it's like, there's so many lies. And Proverbs 29:5 says, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net at his feet. I could just see there's like a net just scattered all over America right now. There is just so many lies being told, so much flattery. You have, you know, some leaders saying, including in the church, but we're just talking about political leaders, they tell their constituents, they openly, directly, boldly lie to some, and they lie in a flattering way to others. They say, well, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give you something. And they're not going to give it to them, but they're flattering them, making them feel they're doing that to be able to give them the impression. And the definition, again, of flattery is excessive and insincere praise that is given to further one's interests or agenda. And so it's amazing. And it's amazing what's taking place right now. Proverbs 26:24 says, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips. And so people can just take what they're saying and they can hide behind their words. He says, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit. He has a deceitful plan, a deceptive plan that he's doing. Realize that the person or leaders or family member or politicians or church leaders, etc., all that, who lies to you through bold lips and bold lies or flattering lips or flattering lies, has deceit harbored in their heart. They're hating on you. They're hating on you. There's no love in that. They're not caring about you. United States today, there seems to be some sort of lying spirit that's been poured out over the nation. It's like, no, you can't. You just can't stake your trust in people. You can't put your trust in political leaders. I know John Paul Jackson talks about the very thing he says under the prophetic words that he had given about the storm. He says, you know, honesty and politician, political leader, you won't even be able to go together.
Won't connect, right?
I've never seen so many people, and it's like the only way this could be really happen, because nobody's really that stupid. You know, there's something that's got a hold of them. Something's got a hold of our nation. I think about, you know, when God was ready to deal with a king, a leader that he had put into place and had went awry, and his name was Ahab, and he talks about how he's going to deal with him because he wants to be able to unfold something and deal with the nation and deal with this leader. In 1 Kings, he talks about it. 1 Kings 20:20-23 says, and he says, he's saying, you know, I'm ready to deal with Ahab. I'm ready to bring him into a place where his end will come. And so he begins to call basically a council at his throne and starts asking, what should I do? And there, one's bringing this idea and one's bringing that idea. And in that, somebody finally comes up and says, one of the angels comes up and says, you know, I'll just lie to him. I'll be a lying spirit, and I will lie through his prophets to him. So when he hears this people, these religious folks around him, they'll tell him something that's not true. Mm-hmm. They'll lie to him, and then they will cause him to go to this battleground where you're planning on having him removed.
Mm.
And so this is what God says. This is what God says. God says, I like that idea. That's the idea. Well, you go down and do that. Let it be done. And so God sends a lying spirit over Israel so that the religious folk, the prophets, would lie into the ear of the king so he would hear what he used to be able to trust was a good word coming from them. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, Ahaz's prophets probably weren't that good anyway. And they told him things that, hey, you'll win this battle or whatever. And that was God's plan. That was God's strategy. Mm-hmm. And Ahab went and he died.
Mm.
And understanding that it looks like to me like a lying spirit has been poured out on the land. And look, I mean, we're seeing biblically that God can pour out a lying spirit on the land. It's when God would turn a nation over to itself.
Mm.
And God is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And so, you know, he's the truth and light, and he's the way. And that if the church is living a lie,
right,
you know, why should we expect the world? God's going to say, fine, you know, I'll just give your leader. I'll just have people speak into his ears, and it'll tell him something that he once could believe that counsel. And so he's going to mm-hmm. take it like it's real, but it's not real. And the nation goes into a place of not good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about a lying spirit, even in the church where Paul's talking to Titus about it in Titus 1:10-4. He says, for there are many religious people here, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things that ought not to be taught, and that for the sake of dishonest gain.
Mm.
Each, this is Paul talking, each one of their own prophets have said, Cretans, as he says, even their own prophets said, Cretans are always liars, brutes, and lazy gluttons. And so you think about it, that even Paul was talking about Crete and how it is possible for a lying spirit to be over a land right now. And this is how you really can sense that there's something God's allowing significant, because people are looking people square in the face, looking a nation square in the face, and they're lying to them, lying to us. And then people are not even blinking or responding or confronting, even though they mm-hmm. know it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is not good, because Satan is, this is what Jesus says. Satan's not only a liar, he's the father of lies.
Mm-hmm.
When we're getting turned over to a lying spirit, you know, that we're getting turned over to Satan. We're getting turned over to a time of bad time. It's something to be very, very worried about. I mean, I think about Revelations 21. We talk about the new heaven and the new Jerusalem, but understand that God's perspective about lying. If you haven't yet gone to VFN TV, you got to go to VFN TV and watch the teaching, Liar, Liar, Your Soul's on Fire.
Mm, that's a good one.
Yeah, because it gives us a perspective, because we got to learn how to just keep our mouth shut, because what happens is Satan will take a hold of somebody, and he'll start asking you questions, and you'll think you'll need to respond, and you don't have to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get some wisdom on how to talk to the people who are held captive by the adversary. And it's very important. But anyway, in verse 21, verse 20, he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne room saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away their tears from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderer, the sexual immoral, and those who practice Magic Arts, The Idolater, and All Liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. We have to understand that we're like the Cretans today. People say, you know, I'm committed to you. I'm going to marry you. We're going to stay married. You know, I'm going to every contract, the marriage contracts, business contracts. I mean, we all make mistakes. Things happen. But understand the ultimate out. We should desire to be truthful. And we're not going to resolve any aspect of a nation that's got a lying spirit on it if the church has a lying spirit on it.
That's right.
And understand that whatever gospel that's been preached that says that we can lie our way into heaven, then it's according to the revelation of Jesus that it's not true. Now, we can, you know, we all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God. And we may slip up and we make a mistake, but if we just give ourselves over to a lie and live a lie, you know, and that's what's happening right now. I'm watching, you have liars calling truthful people liars. I mean, they're even saying liar. It's like, hey, you're the leaders. What are you doing? Yeah, that's what happened when we were 5 years old. You don't do that now. And then you have people saying, you know, with Libya, they're going, hey, they looked one of the military men who lost their lives as a fallen hero in Libya, and they're at the airport hangar burying his son, and our Secretary of State Hillary Clinton looks at his face, the father's face, of the son that laid down his life for the ambassador by choice, and he said, she said, sorry, you know, she was very compassionate about the loss of a son. She said, then she looks at him and says, and we'll get to the root, basically paraphrasing, of whoever did this video, and we will prosecute them, and we will have them arrested. That's what she said to the man. His son just died.
The video.
Yeah, but that was the first. I was right there when she and the President Obama were going to bury his son, along with Stevens. And it's like, is there any, I think about, you know, Reverend Wright was being interviewed on a news program, and he said that the president was talking, he's talking about he and the president were talking, and all I know is what Reverend Wright said, and I'm not saying he's a good source of what's going on. This is what he said was, he said the president told him, he said, your problem is that you feel like you have to be truthful. And that's what he said. That was an interview with Sean Hannity on Fox News. You can find out with Reverend Wright. And he was talking about that. And it's like, what point did politics become just like all the king's men in the movie in 1949? I mean, obviously it's been around for a while, but it's like, is the liar wrong or the one who's believing the lie because they're going to get something out of it? And so here we are. As the church now, despite everybody else, not people that call themselves Christians, but the actual church, you know, whoever's walking with God and made Jesus the Lord of their life, for us, we have to understand that we're not supposed to be part of this world. We're not supposed to walk around like that. And when he tells us, you know, I want to say this one more time before we close out this wisdom moment, and this is so important, you know, we got to redefine, what's the definition of a lie? Because I saw two politicians being interviewed on the news, both of them representing their political parties, two opposite political parties. And he's the one that screamed. Do you remember the guy that was screamed? He was running for Duke.
Howard Dean.
And he just says something that the other particular person says, well, that's a lie. And he says, that is so inappropriate. I cannot believe you should never, ever in the political arena ever call anybody a liar. You should say things like misspoke or it's like, what happened? You can't call a liar a liar anymore.
Wow.
And you cannot call radical Islam anymore. And you cannot call your enemy anymore. And you can't, hello, wake up, church. And it's important. It's not that you're saying, hey, we're going to stand this ground and say, we're just got to make a point at some point. Okay, from this point on, I'm going to repent and I'm not going to be a part of a lie. You could have been living it. You could have made a decision. You could have said it. You could have told people it. You could have told your boss that or whatever. It's time to start living in the truth. And how can you be a person who delivers the truth of God's word, and you're not truthful.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be truthful, and not perfect. Things happen, you know, but it's an accident, or it's an odd, peculiar anomaly that happened in your life,
mm-hmm.
and it sticks out because it doesn't happen normally in your life like that.
Right.
But a lie is defined as this. A lie is a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive, an intentional untruth, something intended or serving to convey a false impression. Can anybody say all the political ads almost on the, mm-hmm. on, I think about several of people who are just trying to defend themselves from all these lies being poured out against them.
Mm.
But listen, if we're going to run for office, and I pray that a lot of Christians do run for office and stand up, realize that you're going to be, they're going to lie.
They're lying, yeah.
And with that, we don't need to be believing everything we hear. We don't need to believe everything we hear. We need to be ready to respond and pause and think and verify. You know, like mm-hmm. Reagan said, trust but verify. And flattery is defined as excessive or insincere praise that is given to further one's interests. Understand this, that right now there's so many lies and so much flattery, which is a nice lie, being given to America, to political factions, to social groups, to all these different groups are being flattered. And the truth is, it's going to be what it's going to be. You know, these are all lies. It's just, it's like we're being turned over.
mm-hmm.
We're being turned mm-hmm. over. And so many people are thinking, hey, if we just vote for somebody who's a good businessman or vote for somebody who's keeping things status quo, and they think by choosing some certain candidate that it's going to be resolved. But even in that, if you're saying that you got a whole nother book added to the Bible that you heard got from an angel called Mormon
right.
in upstate New York, even though what you're doing is good, that's based on a lie.
Right.
I mean, we're not going to be able to bet ourselves down, church, with a lesser lie and think we're going to come out with lesser harm.
Mm-hmm.
And so understand this. Today's proverb, Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin.
So good. I mean, this is so good. You got to be able to know to separate between what is the truth and what is a lie these days.
It's hard, isn't it?
Because, all this double talk.
Because you're looking at people that you trust,
mm-hmm.
trusted, mm. and so you're watching their response, and you're watching. Yeah, I wrote our congressman and thought, I said, what are you doing? What's going on? Where are you in this? And everybody's so quiet. You know why? You know why? Because they're hoping that everybody, they're just thinking that everything's going to go their way, whatever your political persuasion is. And then all of a sudden, everything's going to be resolved because your man, whoever your man is, and your woman, whoever your woman is, gets in office.
Mm.
But what God is telling us, and you need to listen to brace yourself, that that's not how it's going to go.
That's right.
It's not how it's going to go. And we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world.
Exactly.
We have to. God calls us out from amongst the world to be separate. He's called us out. He said, "Without holiness, no man will see God." It's such a dark culture now. And the darkest culture of all is when the lights are real bright, everything's being taken care of, everybody's living in their houses, and by then horses, but now cars and jobs. You understand that, and everything's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to have a crust of bread and be at peace with God than have a lot of money and be in a home of strife.
That's right.
And I would like for this not to be true. I mean, I really would, but also I would like for everybody. I would like for everybody to know God, and everybody is a point. He wants to die, and then the judgment. That
mm-hmm.
are we willing to live our life for those who are headed to death, that are headed to the slaughter, if you would, of the consequences of living a life against God? Because the thing is, until God called me, I was walking in darkness. I didn't know God. And so you can find out about my testimony on meetmyfather.org, and the few of us that shared our testimonies there. But you cannot know him and then know him, but it takes somebody. Well, with my case, it was I was going down the road at nighttime. I was a deputy sheriff, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, and God just called my name. He just called me.
Once you did you listen to your radio and everything?
Yeah, I was listening probably to Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing or something like that. And that I was the noise disturbance when I showed up in my cruiser. Yeah, I didn't have a big.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that.
Oh, really?
What I'm saying? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The well, you had to stay awake, you know, coffee and loud music, and and when you read my testimony, you'll probably see why God had to call me all by myself because it was so crazy. You got to hear my testimony. I have a I have an amazing I think testimony that. It's religion is just amazing. And you understand that God's people can be religious.
Yeah.
And God's in love with all mankind, and he loves all of us. But religion is so weird because, you know, God accepts a person and forgives a person, but sometimes religion has a few issues with it. But yet religion starts thinking, well, I guess then we still need you to do this. And so then they put you over something they wouldn't even, you know, it's like, it's crazy. It's so crazy. It's like, oh, is this for real? You know, excuse me. This logic is blowing my mind away. And it's just religion.
Yeah.
And it's religion. And God loves us all. And so you can be called out of darkness into the light when you make a decision for God. You cry out to God, say, Lord, I need you. And we're talking to you about hope. I mean, maybe God's drawing you to himself. You're looking at all these things that are taking place and you're wondering why everybody's so silent. You're not alone. We're wondering why the church is silent too.
Well, one of the things you're talking about lying previously is the fact, you know, the more lies you tell, the more that you become deceived. There's a lot of people deceived thinking that what they're doing is right, and deceived thinking that because they have... they know of God and they know about God and they know a lot about religion that they actually know God. And it's like the one thing is that you know, you can't be deceived. You got to know him. And you can, and you can have a personal relationship, but that's the worst part of the deception is there's many, many people. The word of God tells us many, many are going to say that they, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and do miracles and cast out demons? And he's going to say, I never knew you. That's a people that were deceived. They actually thought that they knew him, and the reality was that they didn't. And so the thing is, you know, even Paul says we have to examine ourselves, see if we're still in the faith. You know, so they used to say you got to do a checkup from the neck up. You know, you got to do a checkup in the heart. You got to know if you're still in the faith. And right now, it's just America seems to be such a religious country. Is it God bless America? God bless America.
Well, tell me who says this. Tell me who said this. And I'm going to go to talk about rethinking church. Is tell a lie loud enough and long enough, and people will believe it.
That was Adolf Hitler.
My goodness.
Wow.
Listen, JJ. Jews and Jesus, the church. Listen up to me. This is Adolf Hitler's quote. Tell a lie loud enough and long enough, and people will believe it. What are you hearing people say? We need to rewrite history. How do you do that? You begin to just start speaking this whole new thing that's not. I mean, listen, liars, they'll lie to you, and you gotta write down the truth sometimes to go back and remember it, because they'll deny it ever existed, and you'll hear them lie about it so much that you'll say, you might not agree. I can't tell you why right now this is not right, but this is not right because they've told you the lie so long that you're trying to even grasp what really happened in that particular encounter with them or whatever's going on. So I have a habit sometimes just sitting down and said, just taking some notes at that point. If I ever have to talk about that again, I can talk about it in the right context. Because sometimes they can lie to us so long that when we start talking to them, it gets twisted. And it's almost like we might be telling them something that's not accurate ourselves because they messed up our truth.
Right.
Like, they changed the characters. They changed the founding fathers.
Where's the video camera?
Yeah,
video?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you have to, it's just, that's what, how it works. If you, which means this, by the way, if you'll wash your mind with the Word of God, if you will hear the Word of God over and over again, and you listen to VFN Radio, for example, and listen, watch VFN TV, and you start hearing and believing what God says, you start hearing truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. And so the dangerous thing is not just people lying. The dangerous thing is if you tell it loud and long enough, people believe it. Mm-hmm. And look what happened with, isn't it interesting that it was the Jews that suffered because of the lie with Hitler? And what do you think, and since Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies, which means it originates from him himself, what's happening right now in America? The same liar that was lying through Hitler is lying through all this that's happening in our...
That's right.
And we, and if you didn't, if you missed it, you can go back and hear the first part of this hour about the Word of Wisdom. That, but sometimes God will put a lying spirit on a nation or on a people because he's turning it over to itself to bring it to its end.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Ahab's life, rule ended because God put a lying spirit around him. Makes you want to get in the truth, don't it?
Sure does.
You know, I just want to, go ahead.
I was going to say, it takes grace and courage to be truth bearers in this land. It's like, Lord, raise up the truth bearers, those that are willing to stand for the truth and share the truth despite of what it may cost you. And the fact of the matter is that it will cost. We got to get past that. You know, well, I'll tell the truth and I'll stand for something if it doesn't. It's like, give me a break. It's going to cost you. But isn't it worth it?
Yeah. And you know, the my personal dilemma, and I'm sure if you're honest, everybody's, your dilemma is, but I'm a fallen man. You know, I have not been perfect. You know, there's been lies in my past, in my history, in my truth, my experience. And, but now I'm living for God.
Right.
Now I'm living for God. And I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying he's right. And I'm not saying line up with me. I'm saying let's line up with him and allow his grace and his mercy and his empowerment of his spirit for us to walk again in truth. And, the truth doesn't always feel good. The truth doesn't always give us comfort. And it definitely doesn't always give us convenience. And that's what we're saying here. And it's difficult, but don't just say, hey, you know, because I've made a mistake in my past, because I, you know, that's what the cross is about. That's what grace is about. That's about, that's what's so good about the good news of the kingdom, is that we can acknowledge sin, ask God to forgive us of the sin. And he does. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we can say from this point on, I made a commitment that I was going to live a life by God's grace as a man of integrity, a woman of integrity. And I was going to, what happens is when you start saying I'm going to live a life of truth, what you do say, you're well aware of it because you're thinking it through.
That's right.
You're thinking it through before you say it because you know that if you say it wrong, you're going to go back and make it right immediately because you made a commitment before God that you're not going to do that. And so to save yourself a lot of humility, you just pause and think and just immediately respond. I mean, I've seen, you know, people that have this mindset, which is a good mindset, in the middle of a conversation, they would start talking. And in the middle of the mindset, they would just talk, the conversation, they would say, well, no, now that I think about it, it actually was this way. I mean, they self-correct. They just like, they just, they weren't going to let it ride at that particular point. And this stuff about misspoke and all this kind of like, are you really can't, you know, you can't call your enemy and you can't call a lie a lie. We're in trouble because all that originates from Satan. Second heaven to bring destruction there. We'll be right back in a moment.
We have a great way for you, our VFN radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family.
I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion may put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow his ways. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything, but it's time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and yes, we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back. And those that are being led to the Lord, I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
But so what's happening, man? It's beautiful weather, is it not?
Absolutely. Gorgeous weather. I was in the Bronx the other night, and I'm driving back. And I'm thinking, my gosh, I love nothing like the cool weather. And I was telling Eddie, I could drive over this George Washington Bridge 1,000 times and never get tired of looking at the beautiful New York skyline. I mean, it was just like one of them days, you know. It was just like, oh, this is gorgeous.
I'm scarred from that, because all I can remember is that poor little egg. You know, I just think about the pain and the tragedy that bridge represents.
Oh my goodness, Pat! we're in beautiful Fort Lee, New Jersey, which is the New Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge. Mm-hmm. Before you cross it and head over to Manhattan.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And so we're looking at, you know, gorgeous Manhattan as we're, you know, walking around Fort Lee, this actually awesome historic park that's right there, which wars were fought right there. You know what I'm saying? George Washington was right there. It's just amazing. And he says, I'm walking. He says, I crushed. What'd you say I crushed?
Well, you ran up and saw this egg. It fell out of a little nest. This little tweety little bird is going like, oh, my egg. And it kind of
It's like a little caterpillar thing that I stepped on by accident. But you know what? I'll give it to him.
It was an ostrich egg.
Listen, I'll give it to him. He has so much compassion.
I was looking over my shoulder.
He sat down on one knee, and he's like, the egg. Oh, I'm like.
There was so much potential in it, you know. As you can see, there could be future, you know, flocks flying over the community, you know, future pigeon deposits over the statues, you know. And well, think about the city, you know, down in other parts of the country, you know, there's rats and rodents, and obviously they have them too, but they have a different kind of rat in the city that has wings. They fly. Don't feed the rats. And it's like the pigeons just come and they just
relieve themselves over everything. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, they'll relieve themselves over you. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.